listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Chris Blacker. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. It is, again, it's always a privilege to speak with you, and today is no exception, and it is an honour to be able to be up here and to share the word with you. So today we're going to be sharing about John chapter 11, which is one of the most significant chapters in John. They're all significant, but this is a big one. When someone gets raised from the dead, it's massive. It is massive. And so, but before I go into John chapter 11, I need you to understand about today and me sharing this word and how it's come together. So a number of weeks ago in McDonald's, Brad and I catch up every couple of weeks in McDonald's, and we just talk about the Word of God pretty much. We get there at about between 6 and 6:30 a.m. and we talk about the Word of God and different things that Brad brings to the table, and we just discuss it. And who knows that if you don't talk about it, you don't get the gold. But if you dig and you talk about it, you get the gold. Well, this particular morning, Brad said someone had asked me to read John chapter 11 about the raising of Lazarus. And so we just sat there and we talked about the raising of Lazarus, specifically around Lazarus rising and coming out, Jesus calling him out. And we'll come to it, but I just think it's important that we understand this before we go any further. Jesus said to Lazarus, after he raised him up, he said, "Take off the grave clothes." And as Brad and I discussed this, I believe God gave me a really clear picture in my mind, and it was obviously for this morning, and I'll tell you how that came to be as well. And the picture was that when we come to Christ, and if I can simplify it as best, sometimes we carry some of the stuff from the past with us. And when we come out of the tomb, sometimes, and some of us, all of us in little ways, but some in big ways, we leave the grave clothes on. And we take a bit of our old life with us. And the picture that I believe God gave me for then and for now is that it's time to take off the grave clothes from the past. And so this morning, I believe there's going to be a transaction that takes place, and we're going to have an altar call at the end. And we all do carry a little bit of the old man with us. And I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, you've got to walk out your own faith. But if you're aware that there's some of the stench of the old grave clothes, this morning's the morning we're going to deal with it. And so come forward to about 4, 5 or 6 weeks ago, I'm thinking, I've got to tell Andy about this thing that God had given me and Brad in McDonald's. I've got to tell him because, you know, maybe it'd be appropriate to bring it as a message. And then I thought, you know what, men's camp is the week after. I just don't know whether I've got the time and capacity to get a message together in between that time. And I thought, so I didn't end up saying anything. And so he texts me. This guy texts me. He must have been in my mind, or God must have been a part of it. And he said, "Can you preach on May 18th? And so I texted him back and said, what will I be preaching about? And he said, you'll be preaching about John 11. God's in it. And so it's really not about what I'm doing, it's about what God's doing. And so I had to be obedient to, like, I can't say no to this. Because God had put a word on my heart. And so this is where it is this morning. So the overview of the story, if you don't know the story, the very brief overview is that Lazarus became very sick, and within 4 days he passed away, or within a very short period of time he'd passed away. And Jesus needed to get to him before he passed away, but he didn't. And so Lazarus passed away, and then in the end, sorry to be a spoiler here, but Lazarus was raised from the dead, just in case you didn't realise that. So we're pretty much, the scripture we're going with today, we'll start at John 1 and through to verse 45, and I hear the words of Graham going, how are you supposed to get through 45 verses in a morning? So we're going to have a go at doing that. So John chapter 1, the title of my message today is Remove the Grave Clothes. And so we're going to read the first 6 verses to start, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. So if you've got your Bibles, you can follow on the screen, or you can follow in your Bibles. This part of it is from the Amplified Version. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, he, our brother and your friend whom you love, is sick. If I just stop there for a moment, Jesus is 2 days away, or at least a good day away. They had no mobile phones back then, so there was no texting to go, Jesus, can you come to this? And so they basically walked to where Jesus was. There was no cars, there was no trams or trains, and there were certainly no aeroplanes back then. So they were pretty convinced. They knew Jesus was the man for the job, and so they went out of their way to find him. And when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but on the contrary, it is for the glory and honour of God. It's a good way for all of us to live, you know, for the glory and honour of God. So that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Verse 5, now Jesus loved and was concerned about Martha and her sister and Lazarus and considered them dear friends. So even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, even when he heard this, you'd think he'd get on his bike. There was no bikes either, by the way. You'd think he'd get on his donkey. No, he didn't have the donkey at that stage. You'd think he'd start walking. So he stayed in the same place 2 more days. He was pretty chilled out. Now, I'm not going to do the whole map time thing, but I will do the map time thing. I'm just not up to getting maps up here, Andy, so sorry about that. But Lazarus was in Bethany, which is about 2 kilometres from Jerusalem. And from what I've read, my understanding, and there is some conjecture about how far Jesus was away, he was about 20 plus miles, which is about 30 kilometres. And in that time, it's about a 2-day journey from where Lazarus was sick. And so my first point this morning is that it was for his glory, for the glory and honour of God. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but on the contrary, it is for the glory and honour of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified on it. Now in chapter 12, and I don't want to spoil it for the next person doing chapter 12, but Jesus talks about as when he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And that's really important as we see this, that this is, as much as Jesus gets a little bit of glory through it, ultimately it's about the glory and honour of God. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, he, capital H, is always on time. Sometimes we may not think so, and sometimes it brings about frustration, but he's never late. He's always on time. Verse 6, so even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in the same place two more days. And verse 17, so when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, my study notes in the Bible, as I was reading, it says this, many Jews believe that the soul remained near the body for 3 days after death in the hope of returning to it. And if this idea was in the minds of these people, they obviously thought all hope was gone and Lazarus was irrevocably dead, as in he couldn't be any more dead than what he was. He was as dead as he could be. You know, God's timing in our lives isn't always convenient. And it is often not fun. Can anyone attest to that? 3 people can attest to that. Good on the rest of you. I'm glad God's timing is perfect for you. Has anyone here had to ever wait for something in life? I'm not the most patient person, and I do get frustrated when waiting. That's probably part of the grave clothes that are on me that need to come off. But I don't like waiting. Is anyone in here still waiting for something? You have an unanswered prayer. Can I tell you, God's timing is perfect. And there are some people today, and you may have had some things go terribly wrong in timing and thought, why, you know, if we go in and have a look at the scripture here, at one point, I think it's Mary or Martha says to Jesus, why'd you take so long? What's going on? And it's difficult sometimes to trust in God's timing, but his timing is perfect. And it doesn't always go the way we want it. And for a lot of us here, there's going to be some answers we're not going to get until we get to eternity with him. Now, that might be hard, but it's an encouragement. You need to trust God because his timing is perfect. The third thing I had is, this is his way. John 11 continues, and in verse 7 it says, then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, teacher, the Jews, so he's going back, like he's saying, righto, we need to go and see Lazarus. Rabbi, teacher, the Jews were only recently going to stone you, and you are thinking of going back there again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of light in the day? Anyone who walks in the daytime does not stumble, because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. And it's kind of like, what, Jesus, what are you talking about? Well, this is what he was talking about. Jesus knew that his time on earth wasn't finished yet, and it was still daytime. But he knew it was coming to an end as well. He's not done yet, and he will not allow the fear of man to stop him accomplishing what the Father has asked him to do. He and the Father are one. They're on the same page. They're working together. So he wasn't about to say, righto guys, we won't go to Judea. We won't go and see Lazarus raised from the dead. We'll go another way. He wasn't about to let that stop him do what God was calling him to do and ultimately calling him to do. The fourth thing I had was believing. Now, Andy mentioned last week and he talked about part of the theme that comes through the book of John is this theme of belief and believing. And this chapter 11 is full of this whole aspect of believing. And if we have a look, I've got four or five verses here. In verse 14, it says, "So then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. So that you may believe, but let us go to him.' In 25, Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall he live.' And in verse 26, 'And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And in verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And in verse 42, "I knew that you always hear me, but I said on this account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." There's a lot in there about belief. So what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe he is who he said he was? Do you believe it? In the first verse of John, it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was God himself." Do you believe this? Do you believe in him enough to trust what he says? That was written down before Andy went into the song about oceans. Trust him. Do you believe that he wants a personal relationship with you? Do you believe that he and his word applied to your life can transform and change you to be more like him, no matter what your start was, no matter what your parents were like, no matter who hurt you, no matter how you have lived up until now, and no matter what you have been through, and no matter what you are going through. What you believe matters. It can change your whole life in front of you. And you may be in a difficult circumstance, but your belief in Jesus and his life-changing word can turn your whole world upside down. What you believe matters. Fifth thing I had was God cares. And we see that in verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved and was concerned about Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and considered them dear friends." It talked about talks about there that it was more than just an acquaintance. They were close. And around this, I've got up there verse 35, which is Jesus wept. But verse 33 is really important too. And it says this, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Now it's easy to wash over that and wash over that Jesus wept because it's such a short verse, but it's powerful. And I've got a couple of things from the Enduring Word Commentary. And it says this, this is about verse 33. The grief and tears of Mary and Martha moved Jesus. God sees the tears of the grief-stricken and he's moved with compassion. God sees our tears. God is touched by our tears. God remembers our tears. And God acts to dry our tears. And the second part of that scripture was he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Coming to the scene of Lazarus' tomb, Jesus intensely groaned in the spirit. In the ancient Greek, this phrase literally means to snort like a horse, implying anger and indignation. The verb rendered groaned is an unusual one. It signifies a loud, inarticulate noise, and its proper use appears to be the snorting of horses. When used of men, it usually denotes anger. It means that Jesus wasn't so much sad at the scene surrounding the tomb of Lazarus. It's more accurate to say that he was angry. Jesus was angry and troubled at the destruction and power of the great enemy of humanity, death. Jesus would soon break the dominating power of death. Amen to that. Jesus wept in verse 35. And the commentary I had on this said, Jesus shared in the grief of those who mourn. Yet unlike any other, God the Son was able to do something about the grief. God can always do something about the grief. There are many aspects to these two words. Jesus was truly a man, number one. Number two, there may be no sin or shame in tears. Number three, Jesus was acquainted with grief. Number four, Jesus was not ashamed of his humanity. Number five, Jesus identified with others in their sorrow. And number six, Jesus loves people. In the beginning, the Word was God and was with God. Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven are on the same page. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I just want to move into the time about the grave clothes. And the sixth thing I had, my sixth point was there is a bad odour. Interesting that that comes to be. But in verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odour, for he has been dead 4 days. So let's do the maths. So somewhere in between the 2 days that it took Jesus to get back to Lazarus and the 2 days that he waited, obviously Lazarus had died. And as he was in the tomb and he was wrapped in the grave clothes, the smell of death began to be apparent. And as I shared earlier about as Brad and I discussed this whole thing about the grave clothes, I don't want to be too harsh, but sometimes we have attitudes that stink. Sometimes we have habits that are bad, and they've got a bad odour about them. Sometimes the way we think has got a bad odour about it. The way we behave in different situations. When our buttons get pressed by someone. Well, I did that because they made me do it. No, you reacted because there's something in you. It's not anyone else's fault. Sometimes we're double-minded. Sometimes you act godly here at church, but you are different away from here. You know, we all have things in our lives that we, you know, some of us can be working through. Whether it's a bad attitude or whether it's a behaviour or a habit or, you know, it may be something bigger than that. But Jesus said, remove the grave clothes. Can you imagine if Jesus said, hang on a minute, stop there. I know you've half removed the grave clothes, but just leave the other half on. Because I didn't die for the other half. I only died for one half of the grave clothes. But you know, in the Word it says that He has begun a good work in us and that He is faithful to complete it. And so we may not see the fullness of what God has already done for us, in us personally, but He certainly wants us to walk it out. And when things become apparent in our lives that have got a bit of a stench about them, it's time to bring them before God and to say, righto, God, I don't want to live like this any longer. I don't want this grave clothes to be around me anymore because they stink. Why would Jesus say take off the grave clothes anyway? It's obvious, but I think it's important. And then my seventh point is to remove the grave clothes. When He said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Such a powerful thing. There's no other account in the Gospels of this. But a man was raised from the dead. And when you talk about belief, verse 45 says that many of the Jews who saw this then believed. And you know, it's the same with us. When the grave clothes come off our lives, there's a lot of people out there that are watching. They can see the way we're living. They can see what Jesus is doing in our lives, and it is attractive to them. They are drawn to it. And when Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all men to Him. Today's an opportunity to remove the grave clothes. In Ephesians 4 and 20 to 24, it says this. But that is not the way you learn Christ. assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off, and I underline that, your old self. Remove the grave clothes, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, if that's talked about in Ephesians, that means it's real. There are some Christians who believe that once you get saved, you're totally sorted. And from a heavenly point of view, that's true. But on earth, there's still stuff we're working through. And the victory is there. We've got to walk in it. Romans 13, 12 to 14. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Colossians 3, 7 to 9, there's plenty of it. I've only picked three particular scriptures. It says, in these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I think you've got the gist of where this has gone today and where it's going. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And the picture God gave me this morning, that if you know you need to respond, and there's no shame in the family of God, so don't worry about people around you. As we sing this, it's not going to be prayer ministry time in terms of people praying for you, but it's just an opportunity to come up and kneel and say, God, I want to take the grave clothes off and I want to give them to you. And one of the things that I did a little bit, and I've seen over the years, but when we did the spiritual warfare study, I think it was about 18 months ago, and Graham did his notes, one of the things that God does is he breaks the power. And one of the little notes that Graham had at the bottom of the last one, one of the tips was, but we've got to break the habit patterns. So God breaks the power, we've got to break the habit patterns. As in, he breaks the power and we've got to walk in what he's done for us. It's not all on God, it's a relationship together. He's begun a good work in us, he is faithful to complete it. So this morning, this moment is about God breaking the power. And from today, you're going to give that thing to him and you're going to walk in what he's asked you to walk in. You already know if God's talking to you whether you need to respond. And so I'm going to pray, and for the next couple of minutes we're going to sing. And during the song, I encourage everyone to stand, and if you need to respond, come down. Kneel, if you need to stand, that's okay. Just take a couple of moments, as in you can take a couple of minutes just to worship God, let him do his work, and then you can go back to your seats. So if I can get everyone to stand, I'm going to pray, and then these guys are going to lead us in song, and you're just going to respond once I finish praying. Come straight out, don't wait. You know, if God's speaking to you. Father, I just give you thanks for today. I just thank you for the power of your resurrection life. And Lord, we are a work in progress, and that's okay. None of us are perfect, only you are perfect. And so, Lord, I pray that your power would be evident and you would strengthen people to be able to walk out of those things as you call them to take the grave clothes off, to not walk in the old self but in the new. Whether it be a habit that's driving you nuts, or whether it be anger, or, you know, stealing or lying or whatever it is that God is speaking to those about, let them not have the fear of man, but respond to you this morning. And Lord, we just pray your power is evident right now, and we just give you thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you'd like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.